Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to Book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Today we speak about doing the will of God in work and in service, and we will read and we study part of life of Jacob, how he met God and how he served God while he was working in a secular job, and how God intervened in his life. And we will start from the book of Ephesians, and we will learn God's will in the pertaining of our jobs and our the work and our secular jobs that God had given to each and every one of us. How God wants us to live, not only to work, but also to serve God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. It says, "Servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service or many pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing services as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him." Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. We bless you. Anoint my lips, O God. I pray for the purpose of sending this word of yours to your church shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. I pray for workers to be raised up. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for healing. I pray for miracles. I pray for provision. Direction of light. Speak to us. Guide us to do the very work of yours in the secular jobs and also in serving you, O Lord. I pray that this word of yours will be reflected clearly in each and every one of us life. Take the message beyond the wall and make it reach those who are waiting to hear your word and those who need this word of yours. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When God gives us job and profession and he put us in certain places, God had a purpose in our life, and we are servants first to God, and first and after God we are servant to the places that God had assigned us to serve. And also, if we are involved in a secular world, we are still servant to our masters. But he make it very clear to us how we are serving and what kind of the attitude that we should have in our service. He say, be obedient to your masters, and he say, not with eye service, not when their eyes is on you, because when their eyes is on you and you do the work, it means that you are just serving them, you are not serving God. But when you do diligently, whether their eyes is on you or their eyes is not on you, it means that you are conscious that there are a somebody over all, that is God who is observing us. The highest authority is God. And God has put below him other authorities. Parents are authorities, bosses of work our authorities, government our authorities, police and those who are who control equality are all authorities that God has placed man under so that the work and service will go well. So here he have said very clearly, he said, doing the will of God from the heart, serving Christ. Sometimes we don't like the what we are involved in a job or service or certain people or the place that we are that we are serving. But we forget that God has put us there, and this job, there is something out of it comes, is the will of God. It could be God is disciplining us, because when God asked Adam to go and plow the ground to eat the herb, that's kind of a hard job, rather than to stay in the Garden of Eden and just pick up what you like. That was a hard work, but God had a purpose from this hard work, and God would expect that we will obey Him and do service and ministry. After man sinned, God had put the consequence of his sin on his life. Christ came to save us, but Christ did not come to take the consequences. Even Christ, when he was on earth, he was living a hard life. And what I say, if we have not paid well the balance, that is a sin for us. We need to pay it back. We need to pay it back. Everything we do, there's a consequence of the wrongdoing. Besides that, there's assignments that God had assigned for us to do. We need to do it, and we need to pay it back. Certain hours, certain labor hours that we have to accomplish, and God will watch over our life till we do that well. And also in this message, he was speaking to the masters. The masters should not take advantage or abuse, but they must be conscious there is a God who is watching over them. In verse 9, he told them that master also, he told them, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, that you don't use your authority to take advantage and threaten others, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. He told him the same master of the poor man, the servant, is the same master of yours who is in heaven. And God had no respect of a person. Our work is our secular job. Certain time is our ministry. But sometimes we forget one important thing. That is not the whole ministry. We have families. We need to take care of them, and we have also church ministry that we need to take care of that, or we need to do it all together because we are serving God. God give a job not for our living also, but you will have resources so that we can also serve Him. Amen. I have seen many people, they forget this aspect that we are called to serve God, and they concentrate on their work. When he say, don't be many pleasers, I find many people, they are so cautious to please people so that their income will become increased. That's correct, they'll be promoted. And I have seen many people, after they are promoted, I don't find them in the church. They are moving out because now they don't need even God in their life. They have material things. So that is one of the temptations. We need to be careful how to serve in our secular job. We are serving God. God gave us the job to sustain our living, but that does not mean to forget God and move away from Him and from serving Him. Book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 22 to 25. Book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. He says, servants, obeying all things to our masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as many pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Again here, Apostle Paul healing the service in a secular job to the master, healing it with that we are serving Christ. And here there is something he has mentioned here. And I need to dig on it more in the scripture. In verse 24, he says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You know, Peter mentioned that we have inheritance in heaven. But he says that you will receive a reward of the inheritance. So here he links the service with our salvation, and he linked it with our inheritance in heaven. And I'm not saying that we should work for our salvation, but we need to work it out. Salvation is free, for we are saved by grace through faith, and that's through the blood of Christ. But when we are saved, God had prepared a good work for us to do. One of these good works is our secular job, and we need to do it until we are done according to God's will. And when we do it well, and when we use the resources well, and when we serve God when we are serving in our secular job, we will have that, what we say here, a reward, the inheritance that we have in heaven. There is a reward for us, there is inheritance for us in heaven. We need to work it now well. We need to be obedient to God in the way we do our service and we do our ministry. In Titus chapter 2, so the purpose of the message is do well in your secular job. Second, do well in your ministry also. Don't forget God who gave you the job. God gave you the job so that his service and ministry will also will continue. And the job that you have is for your physical needs. But don't forget God who is the one who gave you all these things. And don't be upset with the circumstances that you are in or we are in. God wants us to persevere even this hard time that we are passing through. He wants us to go through it as Christ went through it all to fulfill the will of God. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, you say, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now here, exhortation to those who are working, to us, that we are servants, that we need to be obedient to those who are over us, and to please them, not to please men, but to please them in the way that we need to do our work well. That as a good testimony that we are doing well. Because we should preach the gospel. You see here in verse 10 that they may adorn the doctrine of God our our Lord and Savior, when they see us doing well, then they can see that the doctrine that we follow is correct, as long as our service is good. Doctrine is the way of life. If we are honest in our words, then they will see that they are honest people, faithful people. And they will get the picture that their God is a true God. And there's a word here in verse 10. I want to emphasize on it. He says, not purloining. In NIV he says, not to steal. The word purloining, the Greek word of it is nospi zomai. The meaning of it is to keep back. What is to keep back? It's something that you need to work 10 hours, you work 8 and you keep back for you 2 hours. Suppose you need to pay a certain amount of money, you don't pay it in all, you pay 90% of it and you keep 10%. You are not honest with yourself how to deal with the people who are around you. In other words, you are pampering yourself. Suppose you want to sit down to eat, you know what God wants you to eat. Like 1 piece or 2 piece, and enough. Now you want to go beyond, you want to go beyond that. You are crossing your border, you are purloining. We need to be honest, but the Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to be obedient to that. Suppose you need to sleep 1 hour, you get 5 hours sleep. You are purloining. And you know, this word, not purloining, but nosfi zomai, had been repeated in the New Testament in other place, only in other one place. In Acts chapter 5. So don't purloin. Don't keep back. Don't cheat. Be honest. Chapter 5 verse 2 and 3. That's why when you study the Bible, you can see yourself. Your life is not where it is not where it is stated in the Bible. Your life is a video movie in the Bible. When you read the Bible and go deep to it, you can see yourself well. Acts 5, and kept back part of the price, his wife also bring private to it, and he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to let the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? To keep back. They kept back. What is due to God, they kept back with it. They keep back of it. They keep back of it. And what is due for people also, they keep back of it. So then they were purloining. The same when the people serving, instead of they are working correctly, honestly, they will cheat. They will say, I will work according to what, to how much they pay me. They forget that their salary is coming from God, not from the place that they are working. So don't keep back what you need to do. If it is for yourself, you are very diligent. But for others, you are not careful about it. Because you are serving yourself. You forget that you are serving God. So we should not pardon. Let's go now to the book of Genesis. Now we study a life of a person who start from zero level. He has nothing in his hand, and we will see how God bless him, how God intervene and interact in his life. Book of Genesis 28, part of the life of Jacob. All of you are familiar with Jacob. He left his place because he needed to run away from his brother Esau, that he wanted to kill him. His father sent him to find a wife in Sumbadan Aram. He sent him to his uncle to stay there for a while until the anger of his brother will faint and he should come back. And on the journey, he reached a place and he had and he is not able to continue because it's already night, and he slept on pillows composed of stone, and there that night the Lord appeared to him. I will read from verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the stone was set. And he took of the stone of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said to him, the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it out for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now here the Lord appeared to Jacob, but he has nothing. He slept on a stones, and he was fleeing for his life. And God told him, I'll give you this land, and I will bless your descendant, and I will let you stand, and I will be with you until I accomplish what I had to promise you. When he woke up, he said, surely God is in this place. And there he make a vow to the Lord. His commitment to God, that the Lord will be with me. He makes three things. That the Lord will be my God. We need to understand, to come to Christ, the Lord is our Lord, not only our Savior. He should be the Lord over our life to lead us. And part of the things that He gives us is our job, is what we, is our profession, even if it is hard. But God wants us to stay where God had placed us in order the things to be done well according to His will. Jacob gave the second vow to God, is that this place will be called the house of God, and that's His commitment to the church. When God gives us work, God wants us to commit ourselves to also to serve Him in His church. And part of the church is our families. Families is where we need to raise up not only our children, but they are the first disciples that we need to take care of. And the part of His vow is that He will give the tenth of what He is going to get to the Lord. After this vow, He moved and here is the place. In Genesis 29, you see how God led Him after that prayer. God led Him to the place and He met His uncle Laban. And let's read how God provided Him the job and the income. God gave Him job and income to be sustained so that He can continue to serve Him and walk with Him. In Book of Genesis chapter 29 verse 15, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the youngest was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was pitiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, the younger daughter. So here, there is agreement between them that he will serve him for to marry his daughter Rachel. So he need to serve 7 years to we need to work it out. So here the work that he was going to do, and that is he will be a shepherd. That simple work was the source of a family, to build up a family, and that was the source of income to sustain a great family in the Bible, that the family of Israel, all the Israel came from that family. You see here how our secular job with what we get from these jobs will sustain our living and our life and our ministry. And let's read verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah's daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I sell thee for Rachel? Wherefore then thou hast beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife, and Laban gave Rachel his daughter Bilhah his handmaid to be her maid, and he went in also unto her, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Now here's the point. The second wife, that was not the plan of God. Jacob, yes, he worked for Rachel, but God gave him, or some they say Laban gave him, even Laban gave him, but it is God's will that he need to stay with Leah. Second marriage that he bound himself 7 years more to serve, it was for naught, because it is adultery, whether we like it or no. That's true, it is not the plan of God that he will have the second woman. And he bound himself with 7 more years service because of Rachel. And we know what happened to Rachel. She was dead while he was traveling. And Jacob needed to bury her. But also that, the plan of God, that he needed to cleanse him from immorality, and he needed to stay with one wife, and that's Leah. Now, we will continue and move to chapter 30, and you see, after Jacob finished the 14 years, you see here, I can say that sometimes we have wrong management of our money and our service. Wrong management of our finances. Like God's will that he will work 7 years for Leah. The second 7 years that he worked just to get Rachel, and that's not the plan of God. See, he wastes things, and certain time we waste our resources in doing our own will. When God give you work and money and things, still it is not in your power to do your own. Sometimes we are strong, we can work, we can get money, but still God give you strength to do his will, his plan, not your own will and your own plan. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 25, and it came to pass, when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. That is the time that he finished 14 years payment. Give me my wife and my daughter and my children for whom I have served thee. And let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. So hereafter finished paying for his wives, his master wanted him to stay with him and to work, and he told him that God had blessed me. I was blessed because you are with me. So tell me how much your wages, so we can agree and you can stand staying with me. Now here, the point here, when Jacob this time he wanted to go, God did not let him go. God did not speak to him to go back. And we will see later on, when God wanted him to go, he spoke to him to go back. You see, when God gives us a job and God places us in a place, world, and He let us reach, still leaving the place and doing our own, that is not correct. We need to wait upon God. Even Laban did not tell him go. If Laban would tell him go by himself, then that is God's will, because his master does not want him. So let's read. What was their agreement? Verse 29, and he said unto him, Thou knowest how I served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hast before I came, and it now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide mine own house also? So he want to work now to provide for his own house, to have some saving for his children. He will have his own properties. Verse 31, and he said, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from this all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the sheep, and that shall be counted stolen with me. You don't need to pay me. I will go through the sheep and the goats. Anyone, you know, spotted, has spots or a speaker, and that is less number usually. The sheep they have most of the time one color white, even the goat. So he told them, the spotted and the speckled, that will be my hire. So he told them, fine, I agree. And this is this amount of sheep. And verse 34, and Laban said, Behold, it would be, might be according to their watch. He agreed about it. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring straight and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he said, 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So here, when they agree at his hand, there was nothing, because Laban took all this spotted and speckled, put them under his sons, and he separated them from Jacob's flock with a 3 days distance journey. Now see how God will help this poor man. Jacob was a servant, but he has a covenant with God. God is still looking to his covenant with Jacob. He was working honestly. The cattle of Laban was increased, but Laban was cheating him. Let's continue to read. Verse 37. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and filled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he said, the rods which he had filled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they come to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and they brought forth cattle ring straight, speckled and spotted. God lead him to do this method, that he go get the rows of these trees, and he makes a trap on them that the white of the insect will appear, and he will put them in a way in front of the sheep. When they come to the water to mate, they will, as they are looking, the sheep inside them will become also there, will also become the same. But that, I never hear about scientific resource that they can bring and they can decide about the color of a sheep or his, by using some method like that. But when we go further and we read, we'll find that God was behind that method. See here, my point here is, if God wanted that place, don't worry about enemies or people want to hurt you or people they may cut your salary or income. Still, God can provide you from more resources and what he had ordained for you, it will reach you. Whether they like it or they will not. See, that is more encouraging to us today, to save God wholeheartedly and not to be many pleasers, but to be God pleasers. To stay and to be firm, to continue to be willing to suffer and to persevere doing our duty well. And the flocks conceived before the Lord and brought forth cattle and straight, spicked and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them into, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. Now he separated them, because that is his wages. He now started to separate them. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle, in the gutter, that they might conceive among the rows. God taught him what to do, something that even the enemy cannot penetrate and affect the blessing of God in his life. When he saw strong cattle, he showed him the rods. So they will conceive, they will have strong sheep, he will have strong sheep in his flocks. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feeble were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servants and male servants and camel and also asses. So he got more increase. God was behind him. If we read chapter 31, he continued to do that for 6 years more. Totally, he stayed with Laban. 20 years. When Laban saw that he started to increase and he started to have flocks, his children, they were upset with him, let's read it. And also the face of Laban was changed about him, and that time the Lord had told him, go back to your father, please. Let's read it, chapter 31. And I'll read from verse 1 to verse 13. And as we read, we will discuss. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel, and lay at the feet unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your fathers. Very beautiful here. I serve your father with all my power. You see, God wants us to really give all our strength. All our strength and energy we need to put in our service and our ministry. to him. And you see here, this poor guy, poor man, how God help him. Even that, what he agreed with his father-in-law was changed. But God has multiplied his resources. God taught him. You know, I was pondering upon the life of Jacob. Sometimes we are really in despair. Who for us? How I can be sustained? Life is difficult. But there's faith. There's trust in God. There's the gift of a prayer. When we pray, when we ponder on God's word, God can sustain us and would help us. He helped Jacob through the process of the multiplication of the sheep, that they will get a sheep. He got a sheep that are spotted. And God was behind that. If we read down, let's read what God did to him. And you know that with all my power I have saved your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. He told him God did not allow him to hurt me. Even he tried. Verse 8, if he had said, the speckles should be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said, thus the ring struck shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. What a beautiful thing. God taken what is of Laban and give it to Jacob. Because Jacob was in covenant with the Lord. Verse 10, and it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream and beheld the rams which sleep upon the cattle where rings and trains spake and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. See, here God spoke to him in a dream. He showed him a dream, and the angel of God spoke to him during the dream. So his method that he was doing to multiply the sheep was taught to him by God himself. See here, God behind us in our secular work in order that his church work, his ministry to be prosper. Verse 12, what the angel told him, and he said, lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which sleep upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. He told him, I am watching everything that you are suffering, and even today God is watching everything that you are passing through and suffering. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointed the pillar, and where thou bowest above unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Amen. See, I am the Lord of Bethel. Before he sent him back, he reminded him that I had to bless you because the covenant that you had made with me. What was the covenant? That if the Lord will provide me food, the Lord will be my God, this stone will be the house of God, Bethel, because commitment to the church, and all that I receive I'll give you there. Then God was multiplying him, God was blessing him, providing him with a family, a job, a resources. Even the enemy wanted to hurt him, but God did not allow him to be hurt. God's willing, next week we will continue the message speaking about doing the will of God in work and service. Let's stand. Ah. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you because you are behind us. You will not allow us to be hurt or to be cheated by people. Even they want to take our wages, they will change it. You will not allow them, O God. But Lord, it's our own foolishness. Certain time we do things and present to you. Sometimes we are not aware that you are behind us and you want us to work faithfully, and you'll be the one to reward us, O God, and you'll be the one to pay us back what the enemy have taken away from us. To the Lord, in Christ alone, O God, is our hope and our trust in you this very day, O Lord. Even we are your servant here on earth, and with a secular job in our families, in serving you in your church, I pray, O God, you sustain us, O God. You strengthen us with your grace and your mercy, O God. You will help us. You will watch over us. You will give us dreams and vision so that to encourage us and to remind us that you are here with us. We thank you. We bless you, God. I pray for people to be helped. Those who are having a hard time, you help them. Answer their prayers. Those who are squeezed, having problems, solve it to them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for those who have been even cheated and those who are, their right have been taken away, O God. In the name of Jesus, O God, return it back to them. O Lord, we trust in Christ alone. I put my trust.
My God, forgive me.
We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you, O God. O Lord, help us. Help the weak among us. As we save, O God, our eyes on you. That you will sustain us. That no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck us from your hand. Till you come and take us home. In the power of God, we stand. Thank you, God. Sustain us. I raise up my hands to you, Lord. Sustain me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me, Lord, once again, to do your will. And save me, Lord. Help me to overcome our obstacles. Speak to me, Lord. Give me dreams and visions to solve issues. Inspiring words from yours in the name of Jesus. Lead me in the way that you want me to move. Bless your children. Bless all the servants who are here and those other places. Bless your congregation, Lord, in Abu Dhabi, in Bahrain, in Kuwait, in Kenya, in, Lord, in Malawi, in Sierra Leone, in Indonesia, in Philippines, various places, in India and Sri Lanka, in Iraq. Lord, bless all these people of yours. We serve you with us. Sustain them. Provide for them. Watch over them. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Let your word of yours will be a food for us and stamina for us in this wilderness till you come and take us home. O God, bless us. Bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be us. Keep us, Lord, from home so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name. Amen and Amen.